Open your Bibles, beloved, to 1 Corinthians 13. These are our last couple of daily or regular devotions from Pastor Tim as we prepare you to resume and return to your normal daily habit of personal quiet times and private devotions in God's Word. But it's been a joy to help you during these months of lockdown as we return to as much normality as possible. What a perfect place to land here in the great love chapter. And Paul's been giving us in this final section here, verses 8 to 13, five ways that love outlasts all the spiritual gifts, right? And five ways that love should be our priority and our pursuit now and for eternity because of how it lasts. We saw love outlast the gifts in verse 8. And now we come to verse 9 and 10. The second way is because the perfect outlasts the partial. See, why would God shut down these phenomenal gifts like he mentions there in verse 8, prophecy, tongues, knowledge? Why the demise of such supernatural signs in the church? Well, here's the reason, verse 9 and 10. Paul's going to show us. However extraordinary these gifts are, they're still incomplete. They're partial. Look there at verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. This isn't just some bystander or spectator. It's the Apostle Paul. He had the gift of knowledge. He was a prophet. God revealed great truth to him. 13 books of the New Testament. Half of the New Testament was written by Paul, and yet he humbly says, we know in part, we prophesy in part. Even the apostles, even the other 11 who lived and walked with Jesus for 3 years and heard him teach. Even Paul, who encountered the risen Christ on the Damascus Road, was taken to the third heaven, had angels visit him in prison. Even Moses, who met God at the burning bush and dined with the Lord up on Mount Sinai. Or Elijah, who saw God send fire down at Mount Carmel. All these prophetic privileges, they were still limited, incomplete. We know in part. God was still only revealing to these great prophets just a tiny sliver of his full knowledge, a little slice of his infinite mind. Reminds us of some of Job's remarks of how we can't even know the fringes of God's ways. We know in part. The psalmist would talk about how many, innumerable, uncountable, unfathomable are the thoughts of God towards us. David in Psalm 139, his thoughts are too wonderful, too high. We cannot attain to them. They outnumber the grains of sand. How vast are God's thoughts? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, Romans 11. How unsearchable are his judgments, unfathomable his ways. We know in part. The most privileged apostles, the greatest prophets who ever lived, they're still just giving baby talk, cooing, gurgling infant sounds compared to God's perfect knowledge of all things. Says the mightiest preachers, the Spurgeons of every age, all put together, they're just mumbling toddlers compared to the perfect knowledge of God. And so these super gifts will fail. They'll be done away with, but not love. Praise God that we know all we need to know. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness in his word and in Christ. But it's not all there is to know. Imagine if the infinite God gave us infinite revelation about himself. Our finite minds would explode. Our little brains, this little puny thimble or a tiny teacup, could never hold God's ocean of knowledge. And even if we could, our remaining sin and depravity would prevent us from understanding it and using and responding to that knowledge rightly. We know in part. Remember, John Calvin said, I probably only got 80% of my theology right, but until you show me from the Bible where I'm wrong in the other 20%, I'm going to spend my life preaching and living the 80% that I know. We all have blind spots, right? Especially other people. But this problem will not persist forever. One day, these barriers and limitations to our knowing will be gone. What a remarkable verse comes next, verse 10. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. What is this perfect that is coming? What is this future event that Paul had in mind, a time of perfect, unfailing love that would end all need for spiritual gifts? What is this future hope, beloved, that would render knowledge and prophecy obsolete and irrelevant? What's this time of perfect completion and perfect worship and perfect knowledge? Sure, some would say it's the completion of the New Testament canon or the maturing of the early church after the time of the apostles, and I respect that view. But Paul seems to be speaking here of something more final, more glorious than that, a time when, as we'll see in verse 12, we'll see face to face. A time when we will know fully, even as we are fully known, verse 12. It seems to be knowing God like he knows us. Wow. When will this perfection be? I think it's when we see him, when we are at the source of all love, when we are forever with the one who is love, the perfect. When Christ calls at death and ultimately when he comes back to earth, when we are with Christ and ultimately when Christ returns and consummates all things and ushers in a new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, paradise regained, Eden restored, and better, the final two chapters of the Bible. When the perfect comes, the partial is done away. Imagine that perfect day. You thought your wedding day was perfect. You thought that that family holiday was magical. All those will pale in comparison to this. A day so perfect, it will eclipse and outshine all the imperfections of this life, all the frustrations and limitations that dog our days here. A day when we won't even need our Bibles, won't need preaching or teaching or pastors or small group leaders. We won't need church or encouragement or accountability or the Lord's Supper or baptism. I can't wait for that day. And if we believe the perfect is coming, that it will outlast all that is partial, like spiritual gifts, if we believe that God and his love are what lasts, then surely that should be our highest priority and pursuit now, not any other spiritual gift or experience. There's no comparison between the perfect and the partial. Why light a candle when you're in the full blaze of the sun? Why keep driving with your spare tire on the car when you get back home and you can replace it with a full-size tire? Why settle for the temporary and partial once the perfect has arrived? Why hitch your wagon to something that is fading when you can hitch it on to love, which lasts forever? Imagine you're visiting Germany and your friend lets you drive his new Ferrari. Who wants to drive a Ferrari into some dead-end road or cul-de-sac if you can get out onto the Autobahn and let it loose? You see, it's the same with spiritual gifts compared to love. They are short-lived and fleeting. The other is eternal. Love must be our priority. Love must be our pursuit. More on that next time.